ऐसी मशीन लगाऊंगा, इस साइड से आलू घुसेगा, उस साइड से सोना निकलेगा।
Hello everybody, welcome to the Attention Please podcast now on video. If you like this video, kindly like, share, subscribe. You know what to do. So today we'll be talking about The Wire and its story on its expose. Again, whenever I say the word expose, I think Himesh Reshmiya's movie, The Expose. Expose on Meta, or the expose that never was. I'm not going to go over the story. I'm presuming that you know, but just to summarize. I think it's about a few weeks ago that The Wire, which is a very prominent and well-respected, air quotes, left-leaning independent media organization, I should use their proper appellation, they came up with this earth-shaking expose that apparently Meta, which is Facebook renamed, the artist formerly known as Facebook, that they apparently have a program called X-Check, which is actually true, and that Amit Malviya, the BJP IT cell supremo, is on their speed dial, and he can basically get anything that he doesn't like taken off, and that he had actually gotten. And that was one of the many reasons why I was skeptical of the story, that he had apparently gotten rid of some meme about Yogi Adityanath by essentially going over and above the Facebook moderation process. I still refer to them as Facebook, by the way, even though they're not Meta. They're not Facebook, they're Meta. But and apparently this was a big expose. They had previously done a technical expose on TechFrog, which was essentially government surveillance using zero-day exploits. So this was kind of in a vein of technology exposés that The Wire was doing. Now, once it came out, the story was extremely spurious. So it was on multiple, I mean, there were grounds for very healthy skepticism. Again, you can never say, but for instance, the English used in internal communications by native speakers of English were very Indian sounding. And it's not really the way native English speakers speak. There was some technological claims that they made, one of which I actually wrote a expose on an expose. I kind of had some skepticism technically about some of the things that they said. Again, not going into the details here, but if you're following the story, you know, because I was quoted extensively on that. And there were many others, and really the story fell through once the independent experts who they claimed they had vetted it. So they said, we have vetted everything with independent cybersecurity experts who validated our results, when they basically washed their hands off and said, no, they never came to us. We don't even know what's going on. So after that, The Wire retracted the story. They retracted their old story on TechFrog also. And right now, I think a few hours ago, they issued a formal apology. And again, it was, I would say, an apology of an apology, because it kind of, and I'd compared it to the song Mujhko Rana Ji Maaf Karna from Karan Arjun, where the character played by Mamata Kulkarni is fessing up to the lesser galti, to the lesser crime, that of mistakenly lying down next to Behnoi. So in order to not confess to the larger crime, which is, of course, implied. I've always loved that song, by the way, and I have to bring in a 90s reference. But The Wire's apology, an apology of an apology, was precisely that. So their apology was, well, you know, there were some procedural problems. We perhaps hurried the story. We should have done some better verification. But no, that was not the main problem with the story. The problem was how do you do something which, it's not a question of how you push the story out fast. And it was, you did the investigation and your investigation was totally false. So what is the notion of trust? But honestly, we live in a place, or we live in times, where it doesn't really matter. Nothing that The Wire does would make people lose trust in The Wire. And this is alarming. And it's, I'm not, let's just say that the left and the right are both same. in this respect is that this absolute faith in who we choose to believe. And by the way, now that Wired has themselves kind of apologized, you would see that the entire left ecosystem, and by the way, they never call themselves left, but they're entirely silent. They will make fun of Times Now and Republic going against each other, but they will remain absolutely silent. I mean, media critique organizations will absolutely be silent when one of their co-religionists, I don't know what to call them, but people who believe in the same thing, when they falter, there is no media critique of them. There's absolute silence. There's, I mean, they could report it, but they will not make memes out of it. They will not make fun like I am. They will not. Because why? Because they're all in the same ideological camp. They're all of them are competing for the contributions of the same set of ideological slanted people. That's why. And this, to me, is a real crisis of the day and age that we live in, is that news and opinion has become like comfort food. And why do we go to comfort food? Comfort food like ice cream, fried chicken. This is biryani. This is, I mean, we all know they're bad for your health, especially as you get old. But we still go back to them. We love eating them. We don't like vegetables. We don't like fruits. We like this kind of comfort food. And we do that because it's been proven that they trigger our happy hormones. So they make us feel good. And also there's some of it is chemical and some of it is when we eat, at least when I eat biryani, I remember some of the best times of my life when I was young, when I was in college, when I was in school. So there's a memory aspect of it too. You remember your parents, you remember a lot of happy times. And again, if you think clearly, they might not have been as happy as you remember them to be. But as I said, hindsight is always 20/20, remembrance is always rose-tinted. So all of this makes, this topic isn't really about a comfort food, but news today is. So when we consume, and I presume I'm part of the problem too, as a news consumer, is that I consume news from people who validate my biases. I don't want to have my biases challenged, which is why a centrist a commentary like my channel will never be very popular, because I cannot assure you that when you come back the next time to watch what I'm saying, you will agree with what I will have to say. Because the main thing about centrism is that it's not the arithmetic mean of two extreme opinions, but it is depending on who is right or who aligns with my beliefs, I will take their side, regardless of which side of the political spectrum they are. This is very bad business. That's why news media never is centrist. They cannot be centrist, because then there is no commerce left. So this story, and that is really the alarming thing, is that there was, first of all, very little skepticism from people who agreed with The Wire. And second was that even now, there is very little media critique of what they just did. There's far more critique of Republic TV, even though technically Republic TV was proven to be innocent of what they were accused of by the ED investigation. Even then, they are being dragged over the coals, but not The Wire. The Wire gets a clean sheet. I mean, they've apologized. Oh my God, they've apologized. That's it. Done. And this is the fun aspect of it. I read a tweet where someone said, why is Wired being subject to so much scrutiny? Why is other news outlets subject? Well, first of all, other news outlets are also subject to the same amount of scrutiny. And what is this? Can't we lie in peace? Kind of, what does this even mean? Anyways, so the fact is, media organizations like The Wire, they provide this kind of comfort food for their audience. And they have to, because they subsist on financial contributions. There is a financial aspect to it. And they make these organizations, they make a huge hue and cry about commercial media, about news channels, and say, look, you don't pay for the media, you get it for free. So they get their talking points from their advertisers. So they serve the advertisers, pay us money and we will serve you. But here's the problem with this. It's, you're right. big media serves their advertisers. But at least I know who the advertisers are. I know that, hey, this channel, these are their sponsors. They're not going to speak anything against them. I at least know that. There's at least that transparency. With so-called new media or independent media, which subsist on individual contributions and contributions by trusts and different kinds of think tanks, you do not know who contributes to them. You have no idea. So who actually are they serving? They're definitely serving an ideological biased crowd. That is without question. I mean, this story, just look at the story. Why weren't more people skeptical of it? Because it has very convenient villains. First is big tech. Pretty much everybody hates big tech. So you can safely make it the villain of any narrative. So you have Facebook, which is among, even if you look at Google and Facebook, again, I still call them Facebook, it's Meta, but they are a very convenient villain all the time. It's like if you have Amrish Puri, you can immediately say he's the villain. Now, there might be some cases like Dilwale Dulhania Le Jayenge, but he is not the villain. But it doesn't matter. You see him, you know that you'll suddenly, his eyes will go like this, Gandhi Nali Ka Kira, right? So he's a villain. And then, of course, BJP, which is like Ranjit. So you have two people who basically play villains all the time in that ecosystem. So BJP, Hindu fascists, everybody. So they're all colluding together. They are backed by big money, big tech. It's a very comforting formula story. It's like the Elane Jung of 2022. It's absolute formula. And everybody loves the formula. It's like comfort food. I go there and this story confirms every bias that I have. Now, the irony is that these people who are having their biases confirmed are also very hypercritical of people on the other side who go to news outlets to confirm their biases. So they're like, haha, Fox News watcher, haha, QAnon conspiracy theorists. But they're no different. They're absolutely no different. So the other thing is, of course, is that The Wire took down some of their old stories. Now, there are other media organizations which refer to these stories. They haven't taken down their stories. So this is really where the yahi to scam hai, yahi to ghotala hai. So this is the way academia actually works, where once something gets published, right or wrong, if it makes its way through the peer review process and gets published, now you can refer to that. And so you establish a route of trust and you do a chain of trust from that. And everybody who refers to it now becomes part of that route of trust. So this is how trust transitively spreads. So even if the original truth is not a truth, now everything built on it, that is the truth, even though it is based on a lie. This is really the fundamental problem of academia. And I can give you a real example of this. So there is this connection that many people make between autism and vaccines. Now, this actually comes from a discredited study which was once made. But this is referred to, even though the study has been withdrawn, the publication which published it has withdrawn the publication. But it doesn't matter anymore because the truth has been made out. It has been published. And so people can now cite even a withdrawn paper because you don't know it has been withdrawn, right? Just like this, there is going to be so many stories which are going to be written on this in the years coming forward. Because the truth is out there. It is there. There are many people who will know this is the truth. And again, I don't want to pile on to The Wire in this case. This is not just them doing. The right-wing media does it all the time too. I mean, everything in the Sushant Singh Rajput case, it's, again, what was proven is not important. People's impression of what was said is the truth. And if that was not proven, well, it's a conspiracy. Obviously, everybody is in on it. So if you want to believe something, you can always find reasons to believe. So there are many people who will still think that, there's nothing wrong with The Wire. Maybe they were right. Yeah, they couldn't prove it. Same thing with Arnab Goswami getting a clean chit. Oh, but Arnab Goswami getting a clean chit from ED, they're all in the same camp. So nothing that you do will ever, for the people who want to believe, who are invested in the belief, nothing that happens will actually change their opinion of the untruth. It is truth because it agrees with my bias. Even if the facts don't agree with it, well, the facts are wrong. Everybody is wrong. But the truth is the truth, even though it's a lie, because I have believed it. And this story, again, it's not so important, this story. It's gone. People will forget it. But this is the way we know what is true. This is the way we perceive what goes on in the world. This is the way opinions are formed. And this, to me, is extremely alarming. So thank you for listening. I'll be back with my next podcast. Till then, stay well. Bye-bye.